maturity. And that letter takes us to separation. We've been looking at a difference between our actions and the actions that we would might have if we were lost. The difference between the way we do things and the way a lost, as Brother Mark put it, more humanistic society would do. And of course, when it comes down to separation, we should not just be separate from the carnally minded around us. We also have to be separate in religious matters. We are living in a very ecumenical age where religions and branches of Christendom are coming together in religious unity. Now, many folks, they look at that and they say, yes, this is wonderful. We should all be one in and of the same. The problem here, and I've got two Bibles up here. I'm doing real well. The problem is that in order for us to do that, we have to ignore passages of Scripture to do it. We have to sit there and say, well, you interpret it one way, and I interpret it another, and that in and of itself is a sin because the Bible says that it's not up to private interpretation. Right? You see things one way, I'll see things another, but as long as we both speak the name of Jesus, we can combine our church services. That's not how that goes. The purpose of a church, a called out assembly, is to proclaim the truth of the word, right? To bring honor and glory to God. We can't do that when we are being slipshod with our doctrines. We must hang on to them, right? When we get more of a let's all come together kind of a mentality, we have to lay aside doctrine. Now, again, I love people. There's a lot of folks I love in our family. There's that, I found out that I told you guys about the priest that often does the funerals for my family. I didn't know I was related to him. Oops. And I'm sitting there talking to him a little while, and he's talking to me a little while. And obviously, it gets to what we believe. And you know what? He believes just as strongly that he's right as I do that I'm right. What is the difference? What the Bible actually says versus what we think we're reading, right? That's what it comes down to. What does the Bible say, right? I sat down. We had a cup of coffee. We talked a little bit. We shook hands. You can have that. But what you can't do is lay aside doctrine to create one universal church. It just doesn't work that way, right? Because the whole purpose of getting together is the doctrine. I'm not talking about hurling insults. I'm not trying to promote purposefully just being unabashedly rude to people. But there are some cuts here that we need to abide by. Ephesians 5:11, we are to have no fellowship, it says, with the unfruitful works of darkness. There are things out there that are unscriptural. There are people out there practicing really bad versions of Christianity. I was listening to an interview of Kenneth Copeland, and just midway through, he stops. He goes from asking people for money to purchase this brand new thing that they wanted to do in Canada, right? And all of a sudden, he's just blah, 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 doing the gibberish. Now, what is the whole purpose behind what he teaches? He teaches a prosperity gospel. That's give me your last $5 and God will restore to you 50. Right? Let me go buy a brand new jet. Let me go get some new Louis Vuitton shoes or whatever. And I tell you what, God will. That's not how that works. Right? He's teaching a false doctrine, a bad doctrine. Yeah, but brother, those conferences that they have, they draw in thousands. Well, that very well may be, but it won't draw me in. Why? Because you're using bad doctrine. Right, you've got people out there that, like that guy that I used to work with at McDonald's. Right, I'm training him how to disassemble and reassemble a fryer. Talking to me about how he goes to Walmart and heals people at Walmart. Again, I just kind of looked at him going, what are you doing here? If you can go and pick up your groceries and heal a person, why are you over here at McDonald's burning your hands on this hot equipment? Right? Just the doctrines that they believe, the rhetoric that they teach. Now, do I believe that God can heal anything? I absolutely do. Do I believe that God can do things that our own science cannot understand? I do. Do I believe that if I am faithful to the Lord, He will be faithful and cover my needs and a lot of the wants that I have? I do. But they take the doctrine and they pervert it for their own desires, and we're to have no fellowship with them. Now, Amos 3:3 says this, you know this, can two walk together except they be agreed? We were driving to the cemetery yesterday, and in the car, obviously, you, as family, we have kind of a turbulent family. If you've ever heard me talk about them, there's not long we can be together before somebody gets to scratching about something. Well, we were driving by, and we drove by a gas station, $5.19. There goes my dad, bless his heart. You believe this? I mean, he's starting to get bothered by it. You see how much this is costing? My cousin, I got two of my cousins in the back, right? One of them, conservative. The other one, incredibly liberal. Cousin in the back who's conservative, yep, thanks, Biden. And I'm in the front seat. You know how you got that bar up in the front? I just white knuckle that thing going, here we go. We're gonna come out at the cemetery red faced and bothered. Here we go. Right? You really can't walk to get together for too long with somebody before something that you disagree on comes up. Now what's gonna happen? Either I love you and I'm going to compromise for you, or I love you and I'm not going to say anything because of you, or I'm going to fight with you. So it's compromise or argument. We cannot walk hand in hand with this world. And oftentimes we want to use the phrase of being compassionate. I want to be compassionate to the wants, needs, and desires of everybody around me. So I'm going to be the most diet version of Baptist that I can be. I'm going to be as soft-handed with doctrine. I will be quiet far more often than I should be, so I can be compassionate. We will compromise or we will fight. Now, that is not to say that we are hermits. That is not to say that we don't talk or we don't have relationships, as the Bible does say we need to go into all the world. All right, we are going to be related to people. We are going to have conversations. We are going to work with people. But we've got to be careful with how closely we walk together with false doctrine. Let's go to 2 John 9. 2 John 9. It says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Listen, what that's saying there in a nutshell is you cannot be in the Word and know it and love it the way that you should and walk away from it so easily. We are to be strong in what we know, as well as what we believe. We are not to transgress those things. Hiding them transgresses them. Lying about them transgresses them. Trying to cut off some of the edges so it doesn't sound so sharp, right? Trying to make the doctrine nicer to a God-hating world transgresses it, right? We need to be honest, and we need to obey, and we need to do what the Word of God says. We need to abide in it. How on earth can you say that you love God, that you know God, and not abide by what He says? Right? I've got many a person that I love and I look up to, many a person that I trust, but there is none that I trust more than God and in the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust in the Trinity. I trust in them. And if I trust in them, I have to abide. My trust is built on knowing who they are. And because of who they are, I know that what they say is true. My first and foremost allegiance is to Him. And again, I remind you that lying to people and hiding the truth from people is not kind. Well, they get all bothered. Yeah, but it's not kind not to warn them. According to Romans 16:17, we are to mark those which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which we have learned and avoid them. Right now, why? Because again, it gets in. Right? I get up here and I harp on some preachers that are very widely accepted. Why? Because I'm bitter against them? Because I've got an axe to grind against them? No. Because the doctrines they teach pull you away from what doctrine is actually in the Bible. Right? If you're out there and you've got an audience of thousands and you are transgressing the word, you're lying about the word, you're not studying the word and you're talking, right? You need to be careful. If you're out there and you're doing that, it is up to preachers like us to point it out and say, this is wrong. We mark them. We mark them. We don't. Why is it that you don't go over there and you won't, while you're on vacation, there's a Presbyterian church, there's a Lutheran church, there's all these other ones, there's no Baptists around you. Why is it that you just don't go visit one of the others? Because I don't trust in their doctrine. Right? It comes back down to the Word of God. I don't trust in that. Why am I particular? Why am I careful? Because you don't want to get mixed in with it. You don't. Right? Now, many of you, right, to buy a car now would just be ridiculous, right? But you don't just go into a car dealership not knowing what you want. Am I right? Well, if you disagree with me, let me tell you something. Make sure you know what you're going in for. Because if you put your hands in a salesperson can make almost anything sound amazing. Make it sound great, right? Car like this will be with you to the day you die. Right? That's not how they put it. Be with you to the day you die. Worked forever. I tell you what, my grandma had one. She drove it for 90 years. It was amazing. Great car. Oh, so these were out when your grandma was alive. Fantastic. All right. You get what I'm saying? They can make things sound good that aren't good. Right? Not a lot of closet space, but plenty of running around room. Right? I used to be one of our sales taxes. Well, there's not a lot of storage in here. Yeah, plenty of floor space. Plenty of floor space. And you just hide the fact that you got nowhere to put your coat. Make it sound nice. You're going to end up in one of these situations and they're going to make it sound right. They're going to make it sound nice. And you're going to go, oh yeah, that sounds real good. I mean, I've heard people make arguments, biblical arguments, twisting the scriptures. And I'm fairly certain they didn't know they were twisting the scriptures. But they're leaving out many book and verse that could have educated them better on the subject, right? Oh, well, I believe that the rapture will take place after the millennial. I heard a compelling argument on that. But it skipped past several verses. It did not take everything into account. And what will happen is you'll sit there and you'll hear these arguments and you go, oh yeah, man, that's fine. You don't want that. It is better to know the truth. I love, again, that illustration, how the Canadian police, they learn counterfeit from real. They don't learn counterfeit from real by studying counterfeit. They learn counterfeit for real by studying real. They make them count the real money. They make them count it to where they know the look, the feel, the texture. They know everything about this. So when they see a fake, they got it. That's what we focus on. We must understand the value of separation from those that teach false doctrine. Now, bringing it all back together, let's look at three excuses Christians often use for not living separated lives. Letter A, other Christians don't have your standards. Well, you know what? Other Christians, they don't do what I do. Other Christians do less than I do. We can sit there and look at each other all the time and point out failures and faults. And, well, I'm a little bit better at this and they're a little bit better, a little bit worse at that. We are not each other's goalposts. The Word of God is my goalpost. Right? I don't... Oftentimes through history, when you would look at people who would lead, they would say, okay, well, these are the Lutherans. They follow Martin Luther. Even in our Baptist history, these are the Paulicians. These are the Novatians. As people sit there and they split their more reformist theology, are you Calvinistic or are you Arminian? Now they'll pick out a name of a man. We are not to be the mold and model of other men, of other women. God is our goal. We are Christians, which means, again, Christ-like. Christ is our goal. And we ought not be satisfied with anything other than that perfect life he has called us to. Now, I like this one. Well, you got to keep the main thing, the main thing. It's all about winning souls and giving the gospel and growing to church. And you know what? It's justified that I do this because I did, you know, we brought X number of people to the gospel. We've serviced X number of states and X number of countries. So my sin is not that bad. Do you know how much I give to the church? Do you know how much time I've spent in the church? 1 Thessalonians 5:22 puts that right to bed when it says abstain from all appearance of evil. Folks, we don't have justification for sin. We don't have justification for anything that kind of looks like sin. All right, we'll be done here, but there is one more. And we'll cover that because that's the one that's going to go a little bit deeper because it is a more common, more prevalent point of view. And that is, I have liberty in Christ. Right, you get a lot of that among Baptists when they get to talking. Well, you got to remember liberty, brother. We all got liberty. Well, let's look at liberty next week. Heavenly Father.